Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am, as always, your humble host, Michael Boldea. And another week has come and gone. More tragic events in our nation in just 7 days. And I'm not talking about gun violence or other things, but I often wonder how dumb does the other side think we are? It's one of those questions that I've been asking myself more often because they have to acknowledge, at least the people pulling the strings, at least the people that are really in control, they have to acknowledge that their side isn't very bright. But I wonder how dumb they think we are. Last week, we talked about Virginia, or at least a county in Virginia declaring that Resurrection Sunday would be the Transgender Day of Visibility. And when the White House didn't see much pushback to that, they decided, hey, let's declare a national day of transgender visibility. Mr. Robinette Biden's office did just that. Look, you have to understand that this is how these people operate. They keep testing the waters. They keep, pushing the boundaries. They keep stretching the rubber band. And if it doesn't snap, then on the next go-round, they pull a little further. If the rubber band snaps and socks them in the eye, then they pull back a little bit and wait for the next opportunity. That's what darkness does. If there's enough opposition to evil, evil takes a breath. He doesn't stop. He doesn't relent. He doesn't, withdraw. He just takes a breath. He pretends as though he's resting. And then begins the trek, begins the journey anew. When those that are controlling Mr. Robinette Biden, because it's highly doubtful that this man is, in full charge of his faculties or even knows what he's saying half the time, when they saw that there wasn't much of a push back, when that county in Virginia declared Resurrection Sunday as the Transgender Day of Visibility, they thought, hey, let's try this. Let's take this one step further. Let's see if they'll be just as docile if we declare it the National Day of Transgender Visibility. Never mind the county in Virginia. That is small potatoes. Now it's going to be a national thing, and wouldn't you know it, people didn't react kindly to it. And whenever they push the boundaries and they feel pushed back, whenever they try to go beyond what they did last time and the average citizen won't have it, two things happen. They walk it back. And then their puppets, their dogs, their lickspittles in the media try to gaslight Christians and normal people and make them feel as though they are the criminal, make them feel as though they did something wrong in opposing this. And I have two articles that I want to get to demonstrate that, because it's not going to be the last time they try something like this. Perhaps not along the lines of transgenderism, but whatever narrative they're trying to push, whatever perversion they're trying to normalize, whatever thing that has been lurking in the shadows that they want to bring into the spotlight, they'll keep pushing steadily, gently, until there is violent pushback. And there are people who are not what one might call Christian that found this disgusting to the uttermost. Resurrection Sunday is one of the 2 days that the Christian world celebrates. I'm not going to get into the argument with you people, okay? Well, it's Ishtar. Shut up. It doesn't matter. It's Ishtar. Look, am I going to start throat punching every Joseph that I meet because there was a guy named Joseph Stalin? It's the intent of the heart that matters. Why do you celebrate what you are celebrating? If you are celebrating Resurrection Sunday because Jesus rose from the dead, not necessarily on Sunday, you don't have to necessarily call it Ishtar. You're not Babylonian, are you? You're not celebrating the goddess of fertility, are you? A rose by any other name smells as sweet. We need to get beyond this nonsense because I've had almost enough. I'm going to start being very rude. And you don't know the depths of my ability to hurt with words. It's going to come to that because we are being infantile and adolescent in our thinking. And we're making people feel horrible about themselves because they're celebrating Resurrection Sunday and they went to a church that called it Easter. No bunnies, no eggs, no nothing. Apparently the same people that are browbeating and bludgeoning believers for going to Easter service on a Sunday and calling it Easter have no problem. They're not the ones out there talking about the churches that are having cross-dressers and transgenders being celebrated during Resurrection Day. Why is it that you're only attacking the people that you know aren't going to fight back? Well, I got one for you, son. I'm a fighter. So the next time I hear this nonsense, it's gloves off. It's bare knuckle time. Because we're sinking deeper into stupid, and eventually we're going to drown in it. So they did their thing. They declared that Easter Sunday was the transgender day of visibility. And when they got the pushback, guess what? President Joe Biden reportedly denied declaring Easter Sunday the transgender day of visibility, despite issuing a proclamation on Good Friday, which stated in part, I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., president of these United States of America, by virtue, there's no virtue in you. You walking cadaver in a diaper, you, there's no virtue in you. Stop it. By virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2024 as Transgender Day of Visibility. March 31st is Easter Sunday this year. Each year of his presidency, Biden has issued a proclamation about Transgender Visibility Day. And right after this, when the blowback started, okay, now, again, just as a fully functioning human being that gets up in the morning, is able to dress themselves, make themselves a pot of coffee, drink it, make another pot of coffee, drink it, then go to work. Tell me how this lands with you, because the first thing that they put out there was, we were not aware that this Sunday was Easter Sunday or that the Transgender Day of Visibility conflicted with Resurrection Day. Now, if nobody in the White House, if none of the advisors, if none of the upper echelons were aware that March 31st, this past Sunday, was indeed Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, however you want to call it. I'm not having the argument with you. If nobody was aware of this, then what sort of perverted shut-ins do we have running this government? They knew Virginia was a test balloon. It was a test run. And when they saw that nobody except some guy in Wisconsin almost having an aneurysm from too much coffee was talking about it, they're like, he doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Let's push this a little further. Let's see how much steam we can get out of this bad boy. And so they went and did it nationally. And of course, enough people were beside themselves. And I know that some of you think this is a non-issue. I get it. It's Ishtar anyway, so might as well. Stop yourselves, please. You're embarrassing yourself now. Beside the point. If you don't think this is an issue, how do you think the Muslim world would react if Transgender Day of Visibility was declared on the first day of Ramadan? Do you think they would have the fortitude to do it? I'm sure they could. Well, nobody in the White House knew it was the first day of Ramadan. Of course you did. You lying sacks of excrement. Of course you did. But they thought that because it worked in Virginia, it was going to work nationally, and they were going to push the agenda just a little further. Everybody and their grandma decided to be up in arms about it and go, this isn't right. It's not right. I don't care if you call it Ishtar. It's still not right. And the backpedaling began. We didn't know it was Easter. We were blown away. We were looking at those Facebook posts about Ishtar, and we thought, yeah, Christians don't celebrate that anymore. I mean, now being, 2024, everyone's enlightened and illuminated, and we self-censor ourselves out of existence. Can't call it Christmas. Can't call it Easter. Can't do this and can't do that. What can we do? Nothing. Shut up and sit there and wait for the rapture. Because when the sun goes around the moon and the eclipse happens, that's when Jesus will secretly appear to snatch up the secret church. And then he's going to go and come back and get the rest of you rubes, but the ones that are really in, the ones that understand the interconnectedness of the alien invasion and the return of Jesus, they're the ones that are going to get raptured in the secret rapture in the eclipse. I know, nobody's thought of that yet. I just did from being over-caffeinated. You're welcome. You don't have much time to spread it. But there you go, your next American prophetic YouTube video that you're going to scare the pants off of people with. I can't. When this becomes burdensome, when it's no longer something that I do joyfully, I'm just going to step back and go, God bless you, kids. I'm sure that you could find another hour of audio somewhere else. And it's not because of the world. I know the world's game. I know how they play it. I know what they do. It's about the foolishness of the church. It's about the foolishness of the average believer looking for anything and everything else other than the Word of God, other than the truth of Christ. We're willing to go to lengths, man, to try to have some morsel of something that we can just put out there. Nobody's talking about the rapture on April 8th or 9th or whenever it is. I think there's a niche that somebody can exploit because they're all talking about CERN and whatnot. And you know what? Come April 10th, 11th, and 12th, the deflated balloon syndrome strikes again. Nothing happened. Something was supposed to happen because I read it in the stars. The Bible says there will be signs in the moon, the sun, and the stars. It doesn't say there will be messages. I know. That was deep. You're welcome. It says there will be signs, not messages. You're not supposed to get sun blindness looking at the stars and the sun and the moon and derive some sort of messaging from it. It will be a sign of the times. You will know the times you're living in because you will see signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. You're welcome. So Mr. Robinette Biden and the White House did their part. They walked it back because they're all political animals, and it's all about the polling, and it's all about how many people accept the narrative and how many people reject it. But then hot on the heels of their renunciation of the document they put out, it wasn't me. I didn't know what I was signing. I don't even know if I'm eating chocolate pudding or my own excrement half the time. That's Joe Biden's excuse, but he's the man with the finger on the nuclear trigger. Go figure. I know we're in safe hands. It's like Allstate. Only the hands smell funny. So, because the narrative needed to be cemented by the lickspittles and by the propagandists, ABC legal analyst Sunny Hostin told her co-hosts Tuesday on ABC's The View, honestly, I think that somewhere deep in the recesses of Sheol, somewhere deep in hell, Lucifer is sitting on a fire couch watching The View on repeat. That must be the devil's favorite show. If not, it's the thing that he uses to torment the souls in Sheol. It's one or the other. I still haven't figured it out yet. Either The View is being used to torment the souls in hell, or it's the devil's favorite TV show. I mean, Lord, help us. If this is the intellectual brain trust of the average American, we're in so much trouble. I'm going to grab a shovel and start digging. ABC legal analyst Sunny Hostin told her show's co-hosts Tuesday on ABC's The View that the right was misrepresenting the message of Jesus and Christianity. Slow clap, because every legal analyst knows what the message of Jesus and Christianity is, especially someone who hasn't graced the inside of a church since she sold her soul to the devil because she's afraid of spontaneously combusting. Of course you would know what the message of Jesus and Christianity is. In a Fox News video montage, host Lisa Boothy, or Booth, I don't know, who cares, said this is a clear effort and a coordinated effort to remove God from our society and to replace God with false gods, and in this instance, it's the trans community. They clearly want us to bow at the altar of the trans community instead of bow to God. Spot on analysis. Lisa Booth or Boothy, again, I don't know. I don't want to presuppose. But you are correct, madam, in your assumption. And then apparently the montage went on to Jesse Waters, and he said, if you have a whole calendar, 365 days of the year, and the transgender community purposely chooses the day of Jesus' death or his resurrection, what Easter weekend is, I know, Ishtar, there you go, disseminating demonic holidays. Again, one of these days, yours truly is going to snap. And I'm not going to fly off the handle. I'm not going to start wearing robes like T.D. Jakes and talk about being swallowed up. By the way, have you been seeing how this thing's unfolding? Apparently, Puff Diddy or Sean Combs or whatever his name is, because he's had like 16 different names, apparently, you know, he likes changing names. A.K.A., also known as one of T.D. Jakes' good friends. The stuff that's coming out about this man is alarming. It's not just disconcerting, it's alarming. And the best case scenario in all of this is that T.D. Jakes didn't have enough discernment to recognize this man for the pervert that he is, and continued to remain friends with him, which brings into question his spiritual condition. If you can't discern something that even the godless were pointing at and going, something fishy, something very, very fishy. So that's the best case scenario. Worst case scenario is that some video surfaces somewhere and another black eye is served to the church. I hope it's the first and not the latter, because we've had enough black eyes to last us a few decades. Have we not, children? If judgment begins in the house of God and God begins to expose all the festering boils that are the American church's ever self-aggrandizing leadership, we're going to get a lot more of these stories before it's over. So after they played the montage of individuals rightly pointing out that you chose this specific day for a specific reason, theologian emeritus and Rhodes Scholar at large, Madam Hostin, said, "I'm so angry about this because they're misrepresenting the message of Jesus and Christianity. You know, the trans community is 1.6% of our community, and if you know anything about Jesus, you know nothing about Jesus, Miss Hostin. But you will use the name of Jesus to further your agenda and justify the actions of this administration, won't you? You know the trans community is 1.6 of our community. And if you know anything about Jesus, you know that he welcomed lepers and prostitutes. He welcomed the least desirable among us in society at that time. What does that have to do with sin and perversion, Miss Hostin? He didn't welcome the prostitutes and, hey, keep on hoeing, did he? He healed the lepers. He told the prostitute to go and sin no more. Can we please not twist the scripture as though we were Stephen Furtick? Because, Miss Hostin, you're not a pastor or a preacher, you're a legal analyst, and you don't know the Bible. The best case scenario for your intellectual awareness is that you read a few one-liners at Marshall Goods as you were walking through the aisles. We know Jesus is the reason for the season. Peace leaves here. Jesus loves everybody. Read the Bible once in a while, and then you tell me what Jesus said or what Jesus is about. But this is what these people do. And then I guarantee you, you will have a segment of Christianity who will read her words and go, maybe she is right. Maybe we were too judgmental. I mean, why does it have to be about the resurrection and not, you know, transgenders and the resurrection? I mean, oh, mercy. I know. You were thinking to yourself, Mike's going to come on here and he's going to be all cool, calm, and collected because he's getting ready to go to Dallas and preach a sermon. Well, ha-ha, joke's on you. Guess what the title of my sermon is on Thursday or whenever I'm scheduled to speak? Comes the Sword. I know. It'll be interesting. But, by the way, I know we're segueing all over the place. It's exhausting. For you, for me, it's just another Wednesday, and that is the truth of it. Today is Wednesday, April the 3rd, the year of our Lord, 2024. We're recording it one day early because hasta la mañana, as they would say in California, me and my little brother We're flying out to Dallas, and I didn't think I'd have time to record after we got there. So we're doing this early, but there's enough stuff to talk about, even if it's one day early. What was it? I read this, and I was going to talk about it from the start, but haha, this is the way of things, and this is how my mind works. Earthquake in Taiwan. And see, look, if I were one of those people, I could gaslight one topic or another every other day. They were using HAARP. The Chinese used HAARP to cause the Taiwan earthquake to soften them up before they invade. Ho-ho! It was an earthquake, all right? There is no evidence of HAARP or anything else being used. However, Taiwan was struck by the largest earthquake in 25 years. In the early hours of Wednesday morning, which is today, collapsing buildings and triggering landslides, killing several and leaving tens of dozens missing. Rescue efforts are underway. They also have a tsunami warning. And if you were to ask me, I would point you to Matthew 24, where Jesus begins by saying there will be earthquakes in various places. We've not seen the end of earthquakes. I think we're beginning to see a cycle of earthquakes increasing in frequency and increasing in intensity, because the Bible doesn't lie, even though Sonny Hostin does. I know I've got someone new to pick on. Oh, mercy. You were not in church on Easter Sunday. What was it? Your transgender pastor was telling you about acceptance or something? Because she went on to say, I was in church. I was in church on Easter Sunday, and our entire homily was about Jesus and about how he got up because of us and for us and gave his life. Listen to this. She can't even bring herself to saying he rose from the dead. He got up? What, was he sleeping? Was he just taking a breather? Was he resting? He got up? Oh. I was in church. I was in church on Easter Sunday, and our entire homily was about how he got up because of us and for us and gave his life for us. So for them to be so hypocritical in the name of Jesus is blasphemy. Madam, if you can't say Jesus rose from the dead, if you're going to, and apparently you're a somewhat educated individual, because unless you forged your law degree, which I wouldn't put it past anyone these days, but you can say he rose from the dead or resurrected. I know it's a big word. It's a $5 word, but you know, you need to sprinkle in a few of those. I understand that your audience is pretty much mouth-breathing, you know, over-the-hill cat moms, but still, you know, you and Beth more likely share an audience, and I understand, and you have to lower the standard of discourse because you don't want everything flying over their heads. But still, rose from the dead is not that big of a word association, okay? He got up. Jesus was sleeping, and he got up, and he goes, that was a good three-day nap. Now what's for breakfast? These people. And this is that's another thing that's been grating. Any time a Christian points to a godless pervert and uses their opinion as to why we as Christians should be more tolerant or accepting or not be up in arms over the fact that they decided to place transgender day of visibility on the same day as the resurrection. Get a new hobby. All right? It's like, It's like a sheep going to another sheep, telling them about a wolf's opinion on how they shouldn't guard themselves so readily. Because wolves, you know, by their nature, they're not really that offensive. They just got a bad rap. Okay, that's all it was. You know, they got a bad rap, and it's been going on. And even though every other day you're getting leaks and stories and lawsuits, this if you haven't heard about this whole thing with Nickelodeon and how many kids were abused by perverts there while wanting to be child stars. Puff Diddy, him and Justin Bieber's relationship apparently is now resurfacing. And some of the things he said are, Justin Bieber, when he was a kid, some of the things he said are real head scratchers. You know, all this stuff. Look, there's a preponderance of perverts and perversion in certain segments of our society. They gravitate towards certain things, wherein pedophiles gravitate towards transgenderism because someone that looks like a woman in a dress is more trustworthy to a child than a man, and all these other things that are psychologically based. We are supposed to ignore all these things because Sonny Hostin said Jesus got up for the transgenders. When the fire comes, not if, but when, I, for one, will be making s'mores. You know what? Be my guest. Pray for redemption, forgiveness, reconciliation. This country will not repent. I'm sorry, that's just the reality of it. The writing's on the wall, and here we are. And every single day, it's getting worse and worse, and the Christians are being dragged lower and lower, and the things will accept, and the things will validate, and the things will celebrate, because, you know, Jesus got up, so we have to celebrate mentally ill people in dresses. We keep sliding further and further, deeper into the darkness, and we're still sitting there going, any day now, the revival. Brother Mike, don't mock those people looking for a revival. I'm not, but at some point, we have to be realistic about these things. At some point, we need to focus on establishing Christ in our hearts and making sure that when the storm comes, we will stand. Rather than sitting there and doing nothing, waiting for revival. Hey, you're going to keep waiting till the day the bombs drop. It's not going to happen because even the hearts of believers in many churches across denominations have grown cold. They would not respond to the message of the cross if Jesus himself came and preached it from their pulpit. They'd find something wrong with him. Oh, look at him. That's not very loving. When I repent, what do you mean? Exactly. So you know what? I love you enough to tell you, focus on your heart and make sure it's established in the Lord. That's the advice that I will give you today, and I will not shy away from it. Because to look at any preacher, denomination, church affiliation, to pull this nation out of the mire that it's willingly descending into, that's wasted time as far as I'm concerned now. Luther Seminary's preaching conference featured a trans, that means transgender, the people who Sonny Hostin said Jesus got up for. Who called Jesus a son of a, you know, the rest of the word. I'm not going to say it because this is a child-friendly show. Perhaps not today's. Again, I'm going to cut down on the caffeine, I promise. When I get back from Dallas, I'm planning on going from, 12 espresso shots a day to maybe 8. All right, so I'll be more docile. You'll turn the program on and you'll think to yourself, is this NPR? Today on the National Public Radio Hour. No, it's never going to be NPR. I don't know who listens to this or if you still do, but if you do, I hope you get something out of it. Until the day that I'll say hasta luego and vaya con Dios, because the foolishness and ignorance of Christians just will be too much for me to take. Until then, we'll be here. But if this is the last battle that we've decided to fight, if this is the hill that we're willing to die on, telling people they're going to go to hell because they say the word Easter, and it's Ishtar, Babylonian Ishtar. Every word has a root in something. Please, it's the intent of the heart. When you go to church on Saturday morning, on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night, whenever it is that you go to church, is it to celebrate Ishtar, the goddess of fertility? No, it's to celebrate Jesus and worship him and serve him and fellowship with him. If you ask for bread, will he give you a stone? Apparently, the internet theologians say yes. You ask Jesus for a bread, he'll throw a stone at your head. There you go. There's a new bumper sticker for you. Oh, mercy. Luther Seminary's preaching conference is around the corner, and it's featuring a transgender pastrix who famously called Jesus a son of a B-word. Well, hey, Lutherans, I know Ishtar, man, Ishtar. Every year, Luther Seminary of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America puts on the Festival of Homiletics. Indeed, very homiletical of you. Featuring the who's who of individuals in the know, and whose goal is to help attendees relearn ways to care for the craft of preaching and discover new habits to support the preaching life. So basically, this is a conference for clergy. 1,500 clergy and lay people from around the country. And apparently, one of the guest speakers is Nicole Garcia, who was born a man, but who identifies as a woman, because, there's nothing like being a supposed ambassador of Christ while insisting that the God you serve made a mistake regarding the body that he put you in. No wonder you have a bone to pick. Nicole, Nikki, Nicola, whatever your name is. This, again, Lutherans, Methodists, I can't even. I'm not. And that's, no. This is Christianity today. Campus Crusades for Christ, remember them back in the early 90s? Well, now they fired two staffers for opposing the organization's LGBTQ drift. Mercy. I know. It's the rising phoenix, Brother Mike. It's you never see it till it pops its head over the crater. The way we're going, it's not a crater anymore, man. We're digging our way to China. This is the church, modern day. And what you have to understand is that people who'd wanted nothing to do with God, who looked down and just virulently despised Christianity, are now having to acknowledge that of all the other things floating about in the ether, Christianity is preferable. While the church is drifting away from Christianity, self-declared atheist like Richard Dawkins goes, oh, maybe we should give Christianity another shot. Because between it and Islam, I'll take Christianity every day and twice on Sunday, or on Ishtar, if you will. Now, granted, this man is not saved. He's not accepting Christ. He's not humbling himself. His is an intellectual acknowledgement of the superiority of Christianity. And if he does not receive Christ, and if he doesn't repent, still going to hell with all the knowledge he possesses. But the fact that a guy like Richard Dawkins finally came around and going, I'd have to choose, if I have to choose between Christianity and Islam, I'd choose Christianity every single time. I mean, to me, it seems to be a fundamentally decent religion in a way that I think Islam is not. There's an active hostility to women, which is promoted, I think, by the holy book of Islam. I'm not talking about individual Muslims, and he has to caveat that. And he said that he would like to live in a culturally Christian country. Well, you can't be culturally Christian without being a Christian. There's no such thing, Mr. Dawkins. And I know that you'd love to split hairs and have the best things about cultural Christianity while, who was it? I forgot his name. Nicole Garcia. Well, Nicole Garcia teaches 1,500 or so clergy about how transgenderism is somehow now part of God's plan, because he had an off day, and Nicole was always meant to be Nicole. His parents just named him Nikki. I don't know. I can't. And I know, look, I know it's going to get worse. And this is the thing. It's, you're looking at the situation, and every single week, something else snaps. Something else gets progressively worse, and you have to remind yourself that we haven't hit bottom yet. We're still free-falling, as Tom Petty used to sing. I know. You know Tom Petty. I know he died. But, you know, remember that song? I'm free-falling. Well, indeed, so's the American church. And when we hit bottom, hopefully velocity will be such wherein we will splatter, because we don't deserve for God to give us a second, third, fourth, fifth chance. How many chances are we on right now, honestly? I mean, even here, this morning we got snow. I had to shovel snow. It's April the 3rd, and we got maybe a good 2 inches. Wisconsin governor vetoes bill barring biological males from girls' sports. So I'm not going to encourage my girls to take up basketball or baseball or anything else, because I don't want a boy full of testosterone and vinegar to dislocate her jaw because he was overly enthusiastic and trying to prove that even though his name's Bobby, because he calls himself Betty, he's as good a woman as any. Look, we need something, some catastrophe, something that will be so earth-shattering that all this nonsense will disappear overnight. It'll just in a dust cloud. All of this nonsense, every fake Christian, every grifter that discovers that Christians are gullible and so they could talk them into buying blessed vitamins or whatever else is being sold. Have you seen this new thing? Yeah, we have time to talk about it. All right, I'm done because I'm just getting angrier and I still have a good half a cup of coffee here that I am planning on drinking within the next 10 minutes. So apparently, all of these quasi-prophets, all of these internet charlatans, and some of them actually have, things going on outside the interwebs. But apparently, they're running short on funds. And so the newest grift, which isn't a new one, but an old one, rebranded to seem like a new one, is personal prophecies, ranging from like, what, $75 to like $3,000. If somebody shells out $3,000 for a personal prophecy from some of the people that I've seen online offering them, I mean, I've seen used car salesmen with less dubious looks than some of these people. But just in case we need a refresher, and I'm going to pull this up because I needed to talk about this. Nobody asked, but they will, because it's become ever-present. Every time you go online somewhere, a word from the Lord for $124.99. And if you want to sign up for 12 months where you get 12 exclusive individualized words from the Lord, it's only $1,000. Don't. All right? Please, listen, open your ears. Don't. You will get more out of taking that $1,000, lighting it on fire and watching the flames to see what color it burns, than to give it to these people for a word of prophecy. There you go. Now, would I advise you to burn a grand? No. Take it. Take that $1,000. Do you realize that you can buy 130 Little Caesars pizzas for $1,000? So if you live in a place that has Little Caesars, every Friday or Saturday, especially if you have kids, learn to teach your children generosity. It's paramount that they grow up to be generous individuals, because this world is becoming less and less so. We are living in such a hedonistic, selfish world that anyone who shows a modicum of generosity is deemed a saint nowadays. So anyway, back to that $1,000. Take that $1,000, divide it into 10. That's $100. Take that $100, and for the next 10 weekends, take your kids, go and buy, what is it? 13 Little Caesars pepperoni pizzas. Pizza, pizza. And by the way, I know everyone's poo-pooing Little Caesars. Not that bad. Let's be honest. Where else can you get a pie for $7 that you don't automatically go home and throw up? It's a good deal. I know. I'm frugal when it comes to food. But brother, what about MSGs? I don't think nuclear fallout's going to care whether you ate organic or not. Just saying. And I promise you that the homeless people that you're going to go give those pizzas to aren't going to ask you if the pepperoni is organic or turkey. If you have a problem with pepperoni, buy cheese. There you go. Your conscience is now clear. Cheese and pineapple pizzas, 13 of them. Go and give them to the poor. Go house to house if you have to, like an apartment building. Knock on the doors. Hi, my name's so-and-so. I wanted to know if you would like a free pizza. There's no strings attached. I'm a Christian. I'm trying to teach my kid Christian values. I'm trying to teach them how to be gracious in giving. Would you like a free pizza pie? And chances are, 7 out of 10 will say yes. You'll go through the pizzas, 13 pizzas in 10 minutes. I'd rather you do that than give $1,000 to some huckster who will give you and yes, I'm doing the air quotes, a word of prophecy, a personal word of prophecy. And you know what? Just spoiler alert, this is what it's going to be. My son or my daughter, depending on your gender. Now, if you really want to mix them up and they don't ask you, see, now I'm being naughty. I don't want to be naughty, but call them up and go, you're calling for a personal word. And if you have a very masculine voice and they start going, you know, brother, my son, I have a word from you. Just interrupt them and go, how dare you assume my gender? I think that would be hilarious. The Lord would know that I identify as a she. See, that's wrong. I apologize. That's wrong. But still funny. You got to laugh a little. You could confuse these people to the point that they'll give up. All right, that's all I'm going to say about that. But it's going to be, this is going to be the crux of it. My son or my daughter, you are precious in my sight. I love you. I will bless you. I will keep you. Continue to sow into the ministry of Prophet Bob Bobolina or whatever his name is, because I have a plan for him to be a prophet to the nations, and I shall use thee as the fuel that will thrust him upon the world stage, or some nonsense like that. They have to bring it back to themselves every single time. It's a given. They have to bring it back to themselves because there needs to be continuity of bilking. There needs to be a continuity of seed sowing. It's never going to be my son or my daughter. You're going to die in a head-on collision in 3 years, 6 months, 2 days, and 7 hours. Because they're not. Look, there was a guy who was a sorcerer, okay? He previously practiced sorcery and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. The people thought that this man was the great power of God. And they listened to him because he'd astonished them with sorceries for so long. But see, when the real comes along, the fake doesn't seem like the power of God so much anymore, does it? And it wasn't even one of the majors. It was Philip. I mean, it wasn't Peter or John. I mean, these guys, you know them from earlier on in Acts, where there was a lame guy who had been lame since birth, 40 years, sitting in the dust by the gate begging for alms. And here's Peter just grabbing him by the arm and going, all right, look, we're short on change. All right, nobody called the prophetic hotline and wanted a personal prophecy this week. So no dinero, but we'll give you what we got. Get up, go. And the man began to prance as though he were a deer. That's close enough to the translation in Hebrew, okay, so that the theologians among us won't take umbrage. So here was Philip, who preached, and Simon, this former sorcerer, believed. Now, when Philip saw that things were going well, he sent for Peter and John. And when they came, they prayed for those who had heard and believed to receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord. They'd only been water baptized. But Peter and John laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And then Simon, seeing a means of profit, said, hey, fellas, give me this power also that I may lay hands on people and they might receive the Holy Spirit, and I'll give you some money for it. And of course, Peter being, you know, Peter, a fisherman, a simple man of simple words, said, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. If there is no demand, there will be no supply. Giving charlatans your money, expecting a word from the Lord, when you read this passage and realize that you can't buy the favor of God, you cannot buy a word from the Lord, you can't buy a prophecy, you can't buy the things that God freely gives to those whom he chooses. Okay? So stop. If you want to know what God is telling you, get alone with him and be in his presence and fellowship with him and speak to him. Then shut your mouth and listen. That's so offensive. What do you mean shut my mouth? Look, if you keep doing all the talking, God can't get a word in edgewise. Just spend time with God. He doesn't love me any more than he loves you. He doesn't love you any more than he loves the guy across the street. If you spend time in his presence and if you fellowship with him, and if the desire of your heart is to know more of him, he will reveal himself to you. That's the truth of it. That's the reality of it. I just saved you $1,000. But you could take that $1,000 and go help somebody who needs it. Every single day, there are more and more hungry people in this country. I know, it's America. It is what it is. But why don't you ever talk about your ministry? Because God provides for our ministry without me having to constantly go to our webpage and go to my PayPal and go to my Cash App. And if you want a private audience with me, go to my Patreon and go to this and that. Look, no. I've mentioned it before, and it bears repeating. I build tents, not literally, but figuratively. And so I do what I do as unto the Lord. But if you feel like giving to the ministry, the only thing I can promise is that it will go to the poor. It will go to a good place. It will be used frugally and wisely to reach as many as possible. So that's that. But you know what? Especially if you have kids, man, go and buy those 20 Little Caesars pizzas. Take your kids with you and go hand them out. It's in order for the next generation, the up-and-coming generation, to learn how to be generous and kind and sacrificial. They need your example. Just remember that. All right. God bless you. God keep you. Lord willing, we'll be here next week, come Thursday. If not, then I was taken up in the secret rapture that came at the same time as the solar eclipse. And you got left behind. I kid. I'll be here. I promise. I'll do my best. We'll see. I don't know. Who knows? But what I do know is that there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, not messages. God bless. Gino. Gino's back. Yay, Gino's back. If you got anything to say, floor is yours.
Yes, I'm back from Romania. It was a great trip. I just want to tell you what God spoke at a meeting. I spoke in Satu Mare. A bunch of leaders were there. And the night before I spoke, a woman had a dream about America. And in the dream, she saw the Statue of Liberty weeping, earth shaking over the country, and fires in different places around the country. And this would be a very great event that God's going to allow over America. And then she saw the White House and two dark shadows, two dark presences over the White House removed. So God is going to allow. And then after that, there was a period of some reform. In other words, what happens after this event, there'll be people go, hey, we better wake up. And we better listen to the warnings of God. That's all God showed her. But everything Mike's preached today on this program verifies America's ready for this kind of event. And God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. And God will allow an event. I don't know the timing, but God spoke this in a dream to the woman, and she... I believe it's 100% from the Lord. So with that, thank you for listening to the Light of Truth radio broadcast.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, You can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all